Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick, and with me today I have Chris Armbruster, Portfolio Manager of the KAR Midcap Growth Strategy. Chris, welcome back. Chris, the third quarter has seen a continuation of positive performance in markets from the second quarter. But with higher beta, lower quality stocks leading the way, can you give your view of market performance lately?
Liquidity abounds in the market at the moment, providing an accommodating backdrop for risk assets. Look no further than the aforementioned returns of high beta, unprofitable, heavily shorted, quote-unquote, low-quality stocks in the most recent quarter. However, it feels disingenuous to pin the strong 3Q25 returns for smaller stocks solely on speculators. Let's explore some other more palatable explanations. First, while the megacap stocks have dominated the headlines with AI-related spending and notable revenue growth at scale, there is still plenty of room for the market to broaden out as some of the headwinds facing smaller companies abate. We would point to three that seem to be most impactful. First are tariffs, to which many companies are finally adapting. Second, AI-related discussions at the C-suite level and consequent spending have been potentially crowding out other initiatives. Finally, there is a bit of a K-shaped growth where tech-related companies and higher-income consumers have seen a different rate and trajectory of growth relative to non-tech companies and lower-income consumers. We don't believe this will last into perpetuity. Overall, the market appears relatively healthy. We would be remiss not to acknowledge the risks of overreach when it comes to AI spending and the uncomfortable amount of opaque, lightly regulated levels of private debt and equity. But for now, corporate and economic fundamentals are at levels supportive of solid equity prices. It is easy to say that this is all AI related, but there are many non-AI pillars providing strong support to the market. Interest rates are low and declining, fueling the liquidity abundance we just touched on. We are running at nearly full employment, corporate profit margins are robust, and recent legislation is encouraging growth-related capex.
Chris, seemingly the market has continued to reward, businesses within the AI ecosystem, such as, of course, hyperscalers, as well as quantum computing, power generation, semiconductor companies, to name a few, while punishing businesses impacted by near-term uncertainty from tariffs and or potentially slower business capex and consumer tightening. Is that fair, and can you give examples?
The phenomenon that is AI has had broad impacts on stocks, both positively and negatively. The market is rewarding those businesses whose fundamentals are helped by the spending and innovation cycle. Take Amphenol, for example. It is a market leader in connectors for electronification across several industries, including autos, industrial, and of course, data centers. While the rest of its business units have performed decently, they are now dwarfed by the data center business, as Amphenol is supplying the connectors necessary for connecting GPUs to each other, servers to other servers, and even data centers to other data centers. The outperformance of Amphenol is backed by the change in the fundamentals, so we would argue that the price action is fair so long as the rate of growth doesn't decelerate materially. On the other hand, a name like Pool Corp, the distributor of pool equipment and consumables, has had a tougher time as new pool construction and renovation face economic headwinds, especially in the low to mid-range part of the market. Again, we view the price action of the stock as fair until the business can reaccelerate its top line.
Chris, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the third quarter?
The top five contributors to the midcap growth portfolio this quarter are electronics connector maker Amphenol, functional energy drink provider Celsius, content delivery platform Cloudflare, power management module maker Monolithic Power, and medication delivery product manufacturer West Pharmaceuticals. The name we'd like to spend a little bit more time with this quarter is Monolithic Power. Monolithic has a reputation in high-performance power management solutions and differentiates itself with its highly integrated products that are smaller and more energy efficient reliable, and cost-effective versus competing solutions. The company has a deep chip design and system-level expertise and embraces a customer-centric approach whereby the engineers are closely engaged with customers in solving technical challenges and co-developing differentiated solutions specific to the needs of a particular application. One of the most exciting and polarizing applications of its technology has been its place in helping data centers with power management for GPU-powered chips and systems. On previous solutions, like Hopper from NVIDIA, Monolithic was the sole provider of power management modules. For current iterations, NVIDIA opened up the power management component to competition, and due to the fear that Monolithic would lose significant share, it sold off in late 2024 and early 2025. While we don't have concrete numbers, it seems Monolithic has retained a significant portion of its business, and overall data center demand has vastly exceeded expectations. While the data center business has rightfully commanded a lot of attention, the other two-thirds of Monolithic's business is performing well. From computer memory and notebooks to auto to networking and industrial applications, the company is seeing premium growth in almost every segment. Notably, Monolithic's decades of domain experience in power management is leading to cross-application design gains, something we view as an underrated component of the company's competitive advantage. For example, its innovation in data center voltage distribution led to strong design success in EVs, which are standardizing on the same voltage distribution technology as batteries move to higher voltages. The bottom five detractors from the mid-cap growth portfolio for the quarter were information technology consulting leader Gartner, programmatic advertising platform Trade Desk, multi-carrier insurance broker Goosehead, FICO score creator Fair Isaac, and enterprise tax compliance software company Vertex. The detractor we wanted to focus on this quarter is Gartner. Gartner primarily serves C-level executives of enterprises, and through regular extensive conversations, it receives proprietary NDA-level information that it uses to help clients make decisions. When executives from enterprises call Gartner for advice, they often share anonymized contract details such as pricing tiers, discount levels, and key clauses which are often not publicly available. The more clients Gartner serves, the more data it sees, which the company can synthesize into thematic insights and provide more valuable advice for strategic initiatives and deal negotiations. Gartner has been beset by issues both near-term and potentially long-term. In the near-term, the company is dealing with government spending cuts from DOGE initiatives. Federal spending represents about 4% of Gartner's revenue. It has also been affected by a slowdown in spending from tariff-related customers. Supply Chain Solutions is one of Gartner's largest businesses and is disproportionately utilized by global companies most likely to be impacted by the tariff-induced uncertainty. Longer term, investors are weighing the existential threat of AI-generated research and advice supplanting the value provided by Gartner, either partially or completely. No matter how much the company tries to explain that the complexity of the work they do for a task like cybersecurity implementation, they can't shake the specter of AI being able to come up with a similar solution for a fraction of the cost. This might be particularly salient for the 25% to 30% of Gartner's clients that are smaller and rely on the company for more vendor recommendation, benchmarking for contract negotiations, and market trend awareness. These applications might be most at risk for displacement from AI. However, larger client use cases, which are 70% plus of the business, appear harder to disrupt for now. This includes things like objective determination and benchmarking, in-depth vendor analysis for complex projects, holistic contract negotiations, and issue management during pilot phases of projects. For now, we have trimmed back our position as we incorporate near-term headwinds and evaluate the implication of longer-term AI disruption.
Chris, as we are now three quarters of the way through the year, can you comment on the level of earnings growth for this strategy for 2025?
The K-shaped earnings growth distribution is applicable to this particular discussion, as there has been somewhat of a stark bifurcation of growth. We have strong areas of growth with names that are levered to the development and deployment of AI, with Amphenol and Monolithic Power benefiting from the build-out of data centers, and Cloudflare and Datadog providing distribution and monitoring of AI models, respectively. Some of our secular growth stories like Mercado Libre, On Holdings, and Toast are also putting up strong earnings growth. On the flip side, we have seen weakness in some housing-related names like PoolCorp, CoStar, and TopBuild, which is somewhat predictable given the effect interest rates have had on housing turnover. That said, a few of our names are battling company-specific growth headwinds like Freshpet, with category softening and hints of market saturation, and Trade Desk, with a far more intense competitive environment.
Lastly, Chris, how do valuations look across the market going into 2026, highlighting opportunities and where there may be potential risks?
Valuation is always a tricky question that many people think is an absolute science. We don't believe that to be the case, especially for growth stocks. Valuation is a function of a company's quality, its growth, and the durability of that growth, and its ability to translate that growth into cash flow that can be reinvested in shareholder-friendly ways. This nuance makes it difficult to make sweeping conclusions at a market-wide level. There is no doubt that multiple of earnings and sales appear elevated versus many historical periods, but we are also seeing multiple pockets of extremely healthy and durable growth that would justify those premiums. Our focus is on a bottoms-up, fundamental look at each of our businesses and assess whether its future prospects are accurately captured in its current valuation. To that end, we believe everything we continue to own has not yet reached levels of overvaluation.
Chris, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.